Yeah, and I told you last week, man, you're going to hear a lot of preaching in the book of Luke in chapter 2. It is the Christmas story as we know it from the Bible, Luke chapter 2. Let's stand together, if you would, and I'll read aloud, if you would just follow along there in your place. Beginning in verse 7, Luke 2, 7. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste. That means they ran. And they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. When they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. I'll leave off reading there. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time that you've given us. We thank you for this Christmas season, Lord. You've brought us here. Many things have changed, Father, since last Christmas. Lord, we know that. We understand that. But we thank you, Father, that you have not changed. We thank you, Lord, that you remain the same forever, faithful and true. Father, we ask you now that you would bless your word in spite of me. In spite of us, Lord God, that you would bless your word, that you would speak to our hearts, that we would have ears to hear, our hearts to be ready to receive what you have for us here today. Save the lost, Lord. Stir the hearts of those that are backslidden. God, do the work that needs to be done, I pray. Lord, we give you the glory ahead of time. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. There's just a certain spirit that envelops our land during this Christmas season. Just a certain attitude almost. I mean, as you think about Christmas, you can't help but think about several things, but the Christmas lights, colorful, just kind of flashy and bubbly, and they lift your spirits almost, just warming your heart, just seeing the lights and seeing people. My children love to decorate. They can't wait to put lights on the house. I mean, as soon as Thanksgiving ham is down the belly, amen, that maybe they can wait till the Friday after that, but they don't like to wait. They like to decorate and put up the lights and decorate the house, and it's just speaking of that, the Christmas decorations. You not only do you have the lights, but you have the wreaths, right? You have the bows, you have the flowers and the candy canes and the stockings over the fireplace, if you have a fireplace. Then you have the Christmas trees, you have all the ornaments, and boy, the lights on the trees, you have the ribbons, you've got the tinsel, you've got all that, and sometimes even, amen, you have it flocked with snow so you can dream that you live somewhere other than Texas. But then there's the Christmas food, amen. The Christmas food, amen. Why do we eat so much on Christmas? I'm not sure, but there's the Christmas food. How many of you like eggnog? Come on now. Okay, who hates eggnog? See, well, there's more that like it than don't, okay? But see, eggnog is a Christmas thing. I like it. I could drink it all year long, but my wife doesn't like it so much, and my kids, our house is divided at eggnog. I don't know why exactly, but eggnog is a Christmas thing, isn't it? I love it, but then there's the Christmas ham, right? Christmas turkey, and then there's the for some of you, there's the tamales, right? I mean, it's, you know, it's, yeah, there you go. Thank you, brother. I told my wife, I said, Miss Fogg, I said, well, I didn't call her Miss Fogg. I said, honey, I said, we got to learn how to make some tamales so we can have tamales. I love tamales. But anyway, I'm just putting in my order there. But there's the Christmas food. Then there's the Christmas parties, right? I mean, you go to school, you have a party. You go to church, you have a party. The office. There's just things that happen at Christmas that don't happen all the time. There's Christmas giving. Think about the gifts under the tree, right? Just the gifts laying there. Boy, it's just, man, I get to open one of those, maybe. Does one of those have my name on it? The gifts. You got the gifts in the stocking. The gifts wrapped up under the tree, and sometimes big fancy bows, sometimes newspaper. You know, does anybody ever wrap their Christmas present in newspaper? See, I'm not the only one. Come on. newspaper, if you run out of wrapping paper. But anyway, there's the Christmas wishes, right? Little children, they just wish. I hope I get that new toy. But then there's the adults. Oh, I hope I get that new toy, right? Our toys are a lot more expensive than their toys, but we still have the same wishes. Oh, I hope I get this, I get that. And we wish for that. We wish people Merry Christmas. I mean, when you wish people Merry Christmas, there's just a something spirit about just saying that to somebody. It, unless they're just really grumpy, it usually brings a smile to their face. Usually, anyway, Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, New Year. You know, what about the Christmas music? We just sang some. Silent Night, right? Everybody knows those songs. You should know at least probably not all the verses, but you know those songs, right? Joy to the World. Come All You Faithful. Every one of you knows those songs that I just mentioned. There's the Christmas music. Then you can't forget Christmas morning. Now, I don't know if you do Christmas Eve or not, but I think you're wasting it if you do Christmas Eve. Christmas morning is when you're supposed to have all that fun opening your gifts in your pajamas with one eye open, trying to drink your coffee, right? While the kids are telling you, no, anyway, but if you do yours on Christmas Eve, I love you and all that, but if you're like my wife, she wants to do both. Let's open one on Christmas Eve. Let's just open one, and then we'll get to the rest on Christmas morning. I say, why are you like a little child? Why can't you wait till Christmas morning? But anyway, so usually we open one on Christmas Eve, yeah. But I love Christmas morning, don't you? I mean, even as an adult, I love Christmas morning. Brother Worcester loves it because he's got double whammy. It's Jesus' birthday and his birthday, amen. Do you celebrate your birthday on Christmas Eve? No, okay. See, you're not supposed to celebrate it on Christmas Eve, amen. But anyway, there's just a certain spirit. I'm going to call it this. There's a certain power, really. Just a certain power of Christmas. It just kind of changes things. There's a certain power that I'm going to call the power of Christmas. But better yet, I think I'll just call it the power of Christ. Amen. Because you can't have Christmas without Christ. Right. You can't even spell Christmas without Christ. And so there's a power of Christmas that's involved in our country anyway. And I know it's different in other countries. But Jesus Christ makes Christmas what it is. Jesus Christ. The power of Christ is the power of Christmas, and vice versa. The things that so many things change. You think about all of those things I just listed. After New Year's, maybe January 2nd or 3rd, all of that's going to be gone. Right. Think about that. I mean, most people take down their lights. Some people leave them up all year. I guess that's okay. Just don't turn them on. But, I mean, you take down the decorations. You no longer drink the eggnog. You don't have the Christmas parties, et cetera, et cetera. Everything changes. But during this time of Christmas, like between Thanksgiving and New Year's, there's just a certain spirit. And I'm even going to call it a certain power because it changes things. It changes our attitude, doesn't it? It changes our spirit. It changes our outlook. Listen, it changes people, this power of Christmas, because it's the power of Christ. And can I say to you this morning, by way of introduction, that power changes everything. Amen. The power of Christmas, it does. Our whole world is completely different. Even the traffic, right? Even the malls and the grocery stores and everything just seems to be different by this power. Now, I want to look in our passage here this morning at some very specific things that changed as a result of the power of Christmas. The number one, in verse 8, in chapter 2 there, where we were reading earlier, the power of Christmas in verse 8 brought glory to the field. Brought glory to the field. Look in verse 8 again. There were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. The power of Christmas brought glory to this otherwise normal, dark field of sheep. Think about this night with me in your minds, if you would. The angel of the Lord appeared to the shepherds that night in that dark field. The glory of the Lord shone round about them. Their field was completely lit up. I mean, that's what it says. The glory of the Lord shone round about them. That means in every direction, right? 360 degrees all the way around. It was the glory of God was shining. There was light that night in an otherwise very dark field. They were abiding out in that field in the dark, watching, keeping watch by their sheep by night. Basically just making sure their sheep didn't run off and nothing ate their sheep. There was nothing going on that day. There was nothing out of the ordinary happening that night. They were just sitting out there in that field, and then, bam, the glory of the Lord came to their field. Now, I want you to understand something. In the Bible, the field is a type of the world. Okay? The field is a type of the world, and I want you to see that. Now, if you look at that, you think the power of Christmas then, the power of the glory of God coming to a world full of darkness. Yeah. The glory of God coming to a world full of darkness. Everything was changed that night. The power of Christ, the power of Christmas, brought light to the darkness of their lives. Their lives were absolutely boring. I mean, can you imagine just sitting out there in the middle of the night, keeping watch of your sheep by night? How exciting. Most of our lives, listen, aren't real exciting, are they? Most of the time we go to work, we go to school, we go to our jobs, we take care of our home. We just have a day after day after day routine. We do mostly the same things every night, every morning, every day, every afternoon. You know, it's time to do this, it's time to do that. And it's just, man, it just becomes a routine. I guarantee you, these guys out there in the middle of that field that night, they had no idea what was about to happen to them. They had no idea what was about to change in their lives. And all of a sudden, out of the darkness comes this one angel. Now, the Bible says it started with one angel. One angel showed up, and the glory of the Lord came with that angel, and the light of God brought light and glory all around them. Everything was changed that night. The darkness of the field was gone, and the glory of God was on the scene. I'm talking about the power of Christmas. I'm talking about the power of the Lord Jesus Christ bringing light and a glory. And listen to me, how about just a little bit of excitement? They didn't have anything to look forward to that night. What did they have to look forward to? Another night with the sheep. I hope a wolf doesn't come over here tonight, because I don't feel like tangling with another wolf tonight. How about you? They're just going through what they've always gone through. Life is boring. Life is mundane. Life is ho-hum. But boy, not tonight it wasn't. All of a sudden, the light showed up. The glory of God began to shine. And that's what I'm trying to get you to see with me tonight, this morning, is that the glory of God, the power of Christmas, first of all, what it does is it changes everything. It brings glory to a world full of darkness.
Amen.
It brings light to a world full of people who are bored stiff with life. It brings light to a world full of people who are doing nothing but living and dying.
Yeah.
It brings light and glory and some purpose and some excitement, amen, to people's lives who are pretty much just waiting to die.
Come on.
Think about it. There's nobody in this world that knows, that doesn't know that they're going to die one day. And all they do, for the most part, is they just exist knowing, well, one day I'm going to die. Now, that was me That was me before Jesus. That was me before this light shone and lit up my world, amen. That was me before the glory of God began. It changed everything about me. It brought light into a dark place where I was. That was my heart, amen. That was my life. I didn't have anything. I was just living. I was just trying to make some money so I could pay my bills, so I could feed my family, so I could not, you know, live on the street. You understand what there was no real purpose there. There was no real joy. There was nothing different. But boy, the glory of the Lord showed up in my heart and my life. And listen to me, that's the power of Christmas. That's the power of Christ. So you listen to me this morning. The light of God changes everything. It brings light into it. Otherwise, that field was pitch black. There was no light out there. They may have had a candle. They may have had a lantern of sorts, but they didn't have the light that we have today even. Amen. It was so dark out there. Maybe the moon, maybe the stars. That's about it. But boy, when the glory of the Lord showed up, everything was different. Do you remember that day?
Amen.
I sure do. The power of Christmas brought glory, amen, to an otherwise dark field. A dark world. We were teaching Sunday school this morning, and I want you to think about it with me. Our world would be absolutely nothing without Jesus.
That's right. Amen.
There would be no glory. There would be no light. There would be no purpose. And some people, unfortunately, they still live their lives like that. Even though there is Jesus now, there is an opportunity, but the glory of the Lord has not changed their life. But that's, listen, God was making some real changes in these shepherds' lives on this night. And the glory of the Lord brought light into an otherwise very dark world. And let me say, number two, the power of Christmas, not only did it bring glory to a dark field, but listen now, it brought great joy to replace the fear.
Thank you, Lord.
Look in verse 8 now. Verse 9. The angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. By the way, y'all, that's a lot of glory.
Right.
Amen. You think that sun's bright? This is the glory of God. But notice their first response in verse 9. They were sore afraid.
Yeah.
They were sore afraid. And the angel said, now listen, the angel, of course, the messenger of God, the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of what? Great joy, which shall be to all people. See, the field lit up that night. The glory of the Lord shone all about them. And of course, listen to me, I don't think we'd be surprised if we understood that they were sore afraid. They were scared stiff. They didn't know what was going on. You understand? It was something that had never happened before. The field lit up that night with such light and such glory, the shepherds were sore afraid. And that's I want you to think about that. So God begins to do something special in their lives. God begins to do something special in their hearts. And the first response was fear. Now, stay with me now. Think about that. The first response was fear. And right away, I mean, I don't know what they said to each other. I don't know that they said anything. They probably didn't have a whole lot to say. I would say they're pretty speechless right about now. Speechless. But they're afraid. Their jaws are dragging the ground. They're scared. But God, listen to me, God's angel said, first thing he said, fear not. I love that. Fear not. See, God knows us. God knows that when He gets involved in our life in such a grand and glorious manner, which, by the way, Jesus Christ, there's nothing but grand and glory surrounding Jesus Christ, whether it be in the manger, whether it be at the high priest's throne seat at the right hand of God. Jesus Christ is all grand, all glorious, all power, all light. You understand? He is the way, the truth, and the life. And so, but sometimes, listen to me, sometimes, many times, and when we first see what God's trying to do in our life, we're afraid. We're afraid. I remember when God made me understand, listen to me, that I was lost. That I was absolutely bound for a sinner's hell. That if I would have, I've told you this before, but I was so terrified when the glory of the Lord really shone in my heart that one day. I was in church, y'all, just like you are.
Right.
And I had my Bible just like some of you do. And I was listening to a preacher just like you are. And the glory of the Lord showed up in my heart.
Amen.
God lit up my heart and made me realize that He was real. That Jesus was alive. After all, that was the message that night. Jesus is alive. He's born in a manger. Now listen, I know He was already alive, but I'm making the application here. When God showed up in my heart that day and made me understand that His glory was real, that His Son Jesus Christ was real, and that I was in darkness.
Come on.
I'll tell you what, I was afraid. My first reaction was fear. Because I realized how lost I was. I realized how undone I was. I realized how condemned I was. I realized how dark my life really was. You see, I wasn't a criminal. I wasn't in jail. I'm not talking about a jailhouse, you know, type of conversion. I'm talking about sitting in church. I'm talking about married with children. I'm talking about working a job. I'm talking about wearing a suit and tie. I'm talking about being an upstanding citizen, law-abiding citizen. But I'm talking about hell bound.
Right, yeah, come on.
Hell bound.
Yep.
And the glory of the Lord showed up in my heart that night. And that it was actually a morning when I was there, and the Lord began to work in my heart. But the same thing happened is my first response was fear.
Yeah, come on.
Because listen to me, I was face to face with God's power.
Yeah.
I was face to face with God's glory. And when you get face to face with God's glory, you can't help but understand how dark your heart really is. When you get face to face and you come in very close proximity of God's power and His glory, you can't help but realize, oh my soul, I am lost. I am undone. I am condemned. I am dead in sins. And the first response is fear.
Yeah.
Fear.
That's right.
Because you don't know. Listen, I can imagine what these shepherds were thinking. What's happening?
Come on.
Where am I? This field was dark a minute ago. Am I still in this? I mean, everything's lit up now. What's happened? They may have thought, did I just die?
Come on.
Did I just enter into God's presence? They may have thought, am I dying? Or they may have thought, what did I do wrong? Why is God doing this to me? You understand? All of those, is God angry with me?
Come on.
Why is this happening to me? We don't know what was going through their minds, but they were afraid.
Yeah, that's right.
And understand something, the very first thing the angel said to them, fear not.
Amen.
He promptly told them the reason that there was such light and glory in their field was because God was sending them great joy.
Yeah.
You see, what happens is when people, think about it with me, their world was turned upside down, I mean in a split second. Their entire world was turned upside down. Everything was lit up brighter than a sunny day. In the middle of the night, and it just happened. You can't tell me that you wouldn't be a little bit shocked yourself and perturbed and wonder what's going on, amazed. It makes sense why they were so afraid. They had no idea what was going on. It had never happened before. God brought great light and glory to their lives. Their first reaction was fear, but the message of Jesus changes our lives, listen to me, so drastically at first that many times we respond because we just don't know what's going on.
That's right. Man.
Now, it may be that you need to be saved this morning. I don't know. But I promise you, when God's glory shows up in your heart and in your mind and you realize how lost you are, the first response is going to be fear. Otherwise, you would run to Christ.
Yeah.
So many people reject the light of the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 that the God of this world, that's the devil, has blinded the minds of them that believe not. lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. The devil blinds people's minds, and when they see the light, instead of rejoicing that God is so real and so alive, they get afraid. The devil has blinded them, and they want to do anything to get away from that light. Because there's fear. Fear of the unknown. Fear of what's going to happen to me. Fear of why. All of these questions that our minds come up with when something like this happens. But remember this. Listen now. God knew where they were. God knew what was going on in their hearts. And the message was instant. The first thing out of that angel's mouth was, "Fear not. I know you're afraid." I always love this. I always love to see God say, "Fear not," because that reminds me that God knows when I'm afraid. Yes. Yes. Right? I mean, I know that's simple. Whoa, that's not very deep, preacher. Think about it, though, for a second. That means that God knows. They didn't say a word. That means, though, that God knows where you're at. He knows what's going on in your mind. He knows how you feel. And He's trying to comfort you because He knows, hey, you're afraid. You're afraid. When God says, "Fear not," it comforts me knowing, hey, God knows how I feel. God knows where I'm at. And God cares that I don't have to live my life in fear.
Yeah.
Isn't that a blessing? I think it is. The message of Christ, listen, even though they didn't know what was going on, the message of Christ is good news of salvation. That's what He said. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a what, church?
Savior.
A Savior.
Amen.
A Savior. The message of great joy, the power of Christmas is great joy and not to replace the fear.
Right.
Life is full of fear. But the power of Christmas is the message of salvation. The power of Christmas is the message, is the good news of great joy. That's what He says in verse 10. Good tidings of great joy. There's a message in here in this glorious light. It's the power of Christmas. It's the power of Christ. Satan lies to you.
Yeah, that's right.
That's right.
Satan is the great liar, deceiver, the father of all lies. And he lies. So see, our natural reaction to what God intends for good is fear.
Think about how
privileged these shepherds were. Could not have God shown up to anybody in the world that night? Could not have God manifest His glory to anybody in the world that night? But He did it to the shepherds. I liken this to a tremendous a revival, spirit-filled church service where people are gathered together and they're doing what they're supposed to be doing. They're in the right place. And listen, and God shows up.
Amen.
And God shows up. And that, by the way, that's the best church service you could ever have is when you're in the house of God and God is home.
Amen.
Amen. God shows up. And God showed up. And listen, many times He's dealing in our hearts. He's not trying to do anything but help us. He's trying to give us good tidings. He's trying to bring joy into our lives, but we respond in fear.
That's right.
We respond in fear. We say, "Well, I hear you, God, but I'm scared to. I don't think I can live that way. I don't think I can do that. I don't know if I understand how that's going to work." Now, listen to me. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Does that sound like a Savior to you?
Oh.
A baby? Wrapped in swaddling clothes. Swaddling clothes, you understand, rags.
Right.
Rags. Lying in a manger? Are you serious, God? Really? Does that sound like salvation to you? You can't figure that out. Think about it. They didn't have the whole story yet.
Right.
They didn't have the whole story yet. They had a glorious light shining all around them. They had God telling them, "Don't be afraid. I've got good news for you. Great joy. There's a baby in a manger not too far from here. He's born to be your Savior."
Amen.
Yeah.
Now put yourself in the, again, put yourself in their shoes. That, God's done that to us many times. We've just been going about life, just regular old routine. And then we sit in a church service or through a song that we hear or maybe somebody witnessing to us. God's light begins to shine in our hearts.
Yeah.
And our first response is salvation?
Come on.
Jesus, the only way? What do you mean? I can do better than that. And we don't understand how that could be. God in the flesh. God in the flesh. So God lived and then God died on the cross in the flesh. And his blood was payment for my sin, and that's the only payment that God the Father would accept, the payment of God the Son. And what? And see, our response is that because we don't understand it. Because we can't wrap our puny little minds around it. Well, my puny little mind, I speak for myself. We can't wrap our finite minds around an infinite God who knows exactly what we need and who has made a way for our salvation. And he tells these shepherds in the glorious light of God surrounding them that night, there's a baby in a manger has come to save you. And they're like, what?
Come on.
Like when God tells you, hey, you know what? You can live above that sin.
Yeah.
You can have victory over that addiction.
Amen.
But it's going to have to come through my way, my power, my word. And you're like, what? You know, I think I can find myself a 12-step program, probably. You see, we've got all the answers. We've got all the answers when God's trying to help us with his glory and his power and his light and his message of great joy. Listen to me. It wasn't great joy to them right then and there. Jesus was just a baby. Listen to me. It wasn't great joy. He's wrapped in swaddling clothes. He's in a smelly manger. It wasn't great joy to them right now, but it was going to be great joy because he had come to be their Savior. But they had to hear the message. They had to believe the power of Christmas, the power of Christ, in order to have that great joy. So many of God's people, when God tries to do something in their lives and change them and make them live in victory and have real joy, all they can do is say, well, I just don't understand that. I don't think I can figure that out. It didn't make sense to a shepherd. A shepherd, by the way, is not out there in the field because he's the most intelligent person in the world. He's just a simple blue-collar servant.
Yeah.
He doesn't have all the education. He's not in authority over anybody except for some sheep. Simple, humble men. And God said, don't be afraid. I'm giving you great joy. See, great joy, listen, great joy is waiting for those who believe the message. You know what they had to, you know what they could have done? You know what they very well many people do? Is when God goes to all this trouble to make himself known to us, whether it be for salvation or just for some victory over sin. Just hey, maybe God's just trying to get you back into his will so you can live for him.
Amen.
Maybe God's just trying to get you to be faithful.
Amen.
And, but see, we've got to believe the message. The message didn't make sense, y'all. The way God brought the message to them didn't make sense. I mean, it got their attention. But they were afraid. The message was great joy. Jesus has come to save us from the power of sin. Jesus has come to save us from hell. Death and darkness is what you had before. Now, and by the way, that's why you're afraid, because you're used to death and darkness, but now there's light and joy, and God's desiring to send you that in the place of fear, in the place of death, in the place of darkness. And the power of Christmas, the power of Christ, replaces our fear of dying with the great joy of knowing I'm safe and secure in the arms of my Savior.
Amen.
Complete turnaround here. from the death and the darkness, the boring, mundane life of a shepherd, to glorious salvation, light, amen, and great joy.
Amen.
That's the power of Christmas. That's the life-changing power of Christ. And understand something as I close here tonight, this morning. The power of Christ brought glory to an otherwise dark field. The power of Christ brought great joy to replace their fear. But finally, the power of Christmas, the power of Christ, bade them go to Jesus in a flash. Now. Look at verse 15. It came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven. And might I add, the light was gone too. The shepherds said one to another. Now here, listen. Here is the crossroads.
Yeah.
Here is the fork in the road. Okay? They had a choice to make right now. God has just revealed His plan to us.
Amen.
God has just revealed His glory to us. His power. His light. He has just promised us great joy.
Amen.
But now, He's gone, and I have a decision to make.
That's right.
This is almost like, you know, a Monday morning. I've heard the preaching. I've been at church. God's manifested Himself to me. God has made it plain to me these things need to change in my life, and I can have great joy.
Amen.
And that's the power of Christ. But sooner or later, God's going to make me make a decision.
Yeah.
They said, let us now go back to sleep. No, they didn't say that. Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass. Notice this last phrase, which the Lord hath made known unto us. I don't have time to really develop all this, but do you understand that God did not have to make anything known to them? Did you hear what I said? He did not have to make anything known to them, and He does not have to make anything known to us. When He does, it is an amazing honor. It is an amazing privilege. God would make something known to me. I'm a dumb sinner. But God took the time and took His own will and decided, I'm going to make something known to you, boy. That's an amazing miracle. But some of you don't even get it. You don't even get it. It's just ho-hum another Christmas, ho-hum another church service. God's trying to make something known to you. To give you help and joy in an otherwise dark and mundane life. Listen, and these shepherds, they were not going to ignore the fact that God had just made something known to them. And they went. They went now. That's what they said. Let us now go. See, this is what God's desire for those shepherds was. It wasn't just to make it known to them. God's desire for these shepherds was for them to go to Jesus.
Amen.
Can I say something to you? That is the answer to all of your problems.
Yeah.
Go to Jesus.
Amen.
What do you mean, preacher? I'm already saved. I know. But that sin you're battling with, take it to Jesus.
Right.
Yeah.
That problem that you're having in your marriage, in your home, in your family, in your finances, listen, go to Jesus in prayer and say, oh God, I need your help here. I'm coming to you. You're my only help.
Yeah.
Listen, that's the answer to everything. Go to Jesus. That's why God made Himself known to these shepherds, so they would go to Jesus. That's why God has you come to a church service and hear His word to make Himself known to you, so you'll come to Jesus.
Amen.
For everything. He's the answer.
Amen.
He's the answer.
That's right.
He's the answer. These shepherds had a choice to make. The angel came down. God's message came straight to them. There was no mistaking who He was talking to.
Yeah, come on.
The glory of the Lord shone round about them. The announcement was made. Jesus is here. Jesus is born in the stable. The Savior is here. And it was not done just to give them knowledge. It was done, listen to me, to force them to make a decision.
Yeah, that's right.
They left. And the angels left, and the shepherd said, I don't know what you're going to do, but I'm going to go now. I'm going to go now.
Thank you, Lord.
And boy, I go back to what I was telling you earlier about my testimony. God made himself known, made these things known unto me. I was lost. I was afraid. But I realized, listen, God's message is great joy.
Amen.
Not fear. My flesh, the devil, the world, they're trying to put in part fear and make me think this, you can't do this, make me think this is crazy, you're going to have to give up all this. Listen to me, no, I didn't have to give up anything. I got everything.
Amen.
When I got Jesus. This was an invitation for them to go to Bethlehem, to go to Jesus. They came with haste. The power of Christmas is the power of the invitation. See, everything, yes, the world, I'm not talking about the world's version of Christmas. God's version of Christmas is Jesus. And God put Jesus here. God brought Jesus into this world. So number one, we go to him for salvation. Are you saved this morning? Say amen.
Amen.
Okay, if he could save your soul,
amen,
when you went to him, then why is it that you won't go to him for anything else?
Yeah, Lord. Come on. Amen.
Why is it that you go to everybody else for all your other problems?
Uh-huh.
The greatest problem we had was our sin-sick soul.
Amen.
That was the end-all greatest problem of anybody, is our sin-sick, hell-bound, condemned soul. Now, if he could fix that,
amen,
he can fix anything.
Amen.
Yes, sir. Amen.
But you've got to go to him.
That's right.
Notice now, he didn't bring Jesus right to their field. He brought Jesus into the world, but he didn't bring Jesus right up to their face. He said, he's here. He's here to save you. Now you have a decision. Boy, the power of Christmas, the power of Christ. There was such power in that message that night. That their fear was gone. Great joy began to flood their souls. And they made haste to go to Jesus. I remember one time years ago, I was preaching a sermon similar to this. And there had been a young family visiting the church. And they had a daughter. Well, they were young in the church. He was saved and his wife was saved, but his little, I think, 13-year-old daughter wasn't saved. And I remember, it's probably the most vivid illustration, I guess that's why God brought it to my mind. I remember that young teenage girl. And our building was much smaller than this, and it was even smaller than where we were before. It was a small little building. But that little girl was sitting right about over there. And I just remember when we gave the invitation, I've never seen somebody run so fast to the altar and gave her heart to Jesus. And you just don't see that very often. That's why it stands out. But you know what? I wonder why we don't see that so often. If Jesus is really the answer, if he really is the Savior, and he saved your soul, and you're going to heaven, why does it take so long for us to get to him with our other problems?
Yeah.
Why do we always put him on the back burner? Christmas is a reminder, hey, the power of Christmas. Everything changes around Christmas.
Yeah.
But you know, Christ is alive all year long.
That's right. Amen.
He's the answer. And see, the Christmas songs, the Christmas music, the Christmas trees, decorations, ornaments, parties, all those things we talked about, it's all great and fine and dandy. I like it, and I know you do too. But listen, the greatest message of Christmas is, hey, come to Jesus.
Amen.
Come to Jesus.
Amen.
Whatever's ailing you, bring it to Jesus.
Amen.
He's got the answer. Let's pray. Father, Lord, I pray you'd bless your word today.